Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning into Rhema Remnant Radio, a broadcast designed with the minister in mind. Stay tuned for a special message from Elder LaVon Breland.
Want to work for a kingdom organization? Have regular phone and internet access? Have a creative mind? Willing to give God your best? Congratulations! You are qualified to join our team. Urban Glory Campaigns is a faith-based corporation for global leadership. Our organization aims to minister to industries, communities, congregations, and cultures that do not look to the organization because of its religious background, but to the principles taught by our founder that reaches the very hearts of mankind regardless of religious, political or socioeconomic backgrounds. With deep-rooted convictions, our message is a provoker of change. Experience the glory.
Coming to your community is the Word and Power-packed Rhema Group University meeting. Call 641-715-3800, extension 91120. That's 641-715-3800, extension 91120 for more info.
Thank you for listening to YouthSWAT Radio. This is Selena Olivia, President of Urban Glory Campaign. Airing tonight is a special broadcast. We look forward to our audience expanding globally and the glorious gospel and doctrine of Christ continually stirred in the hearts of kingdom leaders across the globe. If you would like to partner with us, whether it's with a monthly or a one-time contribution, we appreciate your giving. Visit our website at www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. That's www.urbanglorycampaign.web.com and go to our partners page. Stay tuned for tonight's broadcast.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to talk to you tonight about being established in righteousness, and we're going to talk about transforming ideology into reality. And the Lord has really impressed me to go into some depth in that subject. And so if you have your Bibles, I want you to have your Bibles out, because in a few minutes we're going to talk about that. I do want to talk to you this week. I'm going to be dealing with a very controversial subject called Is Ministry My Fix? And I think that's going to be a vital short series that I'm going to deal with, the psychology of unhealthy and improper balances within ministry. And I think every minister of the gospel will need to hear this particular study. And I'm going to come from some very unique scriptures. Is ministry my fix? And I'm going to talk about the dynamics of a ministry addict. And I'm going to deal with when there is a false balance and lack of priorities that are placed upon your personal development. And you try to erase it in ministry. So we're going to deal with that. Is ministry my fix? And I think I'm excited about that. But like I said, tonight we're going to talk about being established in righteousness. And I want to kind of provoke your understanding to greater realms of this righteousness that the scripture describes and depicts. And how it is so important that we really grasp the truth concerning the matter of righteousness. So have your Bibles out. We're going to go to Hebrews chapter 5, and we're also going to deal with some Old Testament passages and various teachings that I think will be beneficial to you. Give me 1 second, get your Bibles out, and get your notepads out.
Hello, Rhema Remnant Radio listeners. This is Helena Olivia, President of Herbivore Campaigns, host of Spirit Straight Talk Radio, standing in while Elder Breland gets ready to come back on the air. I wanted to come in for a moment and speak to you about the upcoming things that are going to be in Urban Glory Campaign. We have a minister fellowship that is coming up, and you want to stay tuned to this broadcast as well as call us and give us your mailing information, email, and postage if you would like. This is particularly email. We have a mailing list, and the link is here on the profile page of Rhema Remnant Radio. Of course, if you're listening by phone, online, we are at www.blogtalkradio.com/Rhema Remnant. blogtalkradio.com/Rhema Remnant. And if you scroll down, you will see the link for a mailing list. You'll also see the links of various campaigns that we have in Urban Glory Campaigns. You can give to the ministry on these links as well as look at the various events that are coming up and the initiatives that are coming up with Urban Glory Campaigns.
All right. We're dealing with, like I said, being established in righteousness. And we went through this particular lesson a few weeks prior this year in April, I believe at the 1st of April. And the Holy Spirit has not really let me go or released me in this teaching yet. And there's a lot more intricate tools needed to be great and excel in that particular study. So I want to go back to it and kind of review some major claims that we discussed in that and kind of bring light to it, shed a little more light, because you can never get tired of a teaching like that. Amen? So let's look to the Father and ask his assistance in tonight's lesson. We're going to go through a couple of scriptures because I believe with the emphasis that we're going to place on tonight's lesson, it will set a form of ideology to reality. It will transform it. And we're going to talk about a simple resolve to transforming ideologies to reality. Let's look to the Father. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day, knowing that this is the day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad. We thank you for another opportunity to worship you in spirit and in truth. It's the authority of your word that gives me the confidence and boldness to make known the mysteries of the good news of the gospel of Christ as I ought to today. I lean to the Holy Spirit as educator and guide to give me clear articulation of speech, deliberation of thought, subjectivity of continuity, and systematic theology. As I declare this, your word today, I yield my members to obey what the Spirit has to say to the church. And Father, in everything, you be glorified in the things that are accomplished and revealed. In the name of Jesus, we do praise you and give you glory. In Jesus' precious name, amen. We're talking about being established in righteousness. And when we discussed this in the previous lessons, we dealt with being embedded in the fruits of righteousness and then allowing that righteousness to affect our consciousness. And we dealt with the prophetic declaration as Isaiah 54:14. However, today I want to take you to a greater teaching on it that I think will amplify what we've already studied. We talked about challenging the conscience to always resolve to righteousness and create a conductive environment for righteousness with a respective heart through submission to the Holy Spirit. We talked about courageously controlling the flesh and capturing the ear to be apt to the heart of the Spirit. We also dealt with the casting our cares on the Lord. For he cares for us. So these pertinent principles are absolutely essential to us being established in righteousness. What I want to do tonight is look at Ephesians 4. Again, tell me the Ephesians 4 right quick. Because this particular information has to be understood. And then we'll launch from there. Ephesians chapter 4. Amen and amen again. You know, as I was thinking about the scriptures, I was reminded of our due diligence needed to exist in higher realms of the spirit and confidence. And the scripture tells us in Timothy to study not to show others, but to show ourselves approved unto God. And I believe as a corporate body, we are living in an era that we need to always be ready and apt to make known soundly the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. And we must be ready for this coming generation. The subtitle of this lesson, part three, is Engineered for Righteousness. Engineered for Righteousness. Hallelujah. All right. Let me get some things together. So we're ready. We're in Ephesians chapter 4. From there we'll go on. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 through 24. Now, we henceforth be, of course, you know, of course, he gives the purposes of the ministry, gifts in chapter, verse 12. Verse 13, he gives, actually, he gives what the ministry gifts are in verse 11. He gives the purpose of them in verse 12. And he gives the objective and the outlook on it in verse 13. In verse 14, he goes back into reinforcing the purpose that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby in lies they wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies according to the effectual working and the pleasure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And then it goes on and says, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles, walk in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the commonwealth or from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being in past feeling, having given themselves over unto lasciviousness to all to work, all uncleanliness with greediness, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so that ye be heard by him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupting according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now listen to this. It says, and that ye put on the new man, which is after God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. And, of course, you know, the new man is the manifestation of Christ. And so we want to talk about being engineered for righteousness. In the first lessons, we talked about steps empowering a righteous conscience, adapting, making the mind adequate to attain the righteousness of God, which is truly an act of faith. We believe, God, that through the work of Jesus that our sins are forgiven so that way we can be cleansed. And as a result of that cleansing, we can accept the free gift of God, which is the grace of God through faith, which makes us righteousness. Not that other men can boast, because it's a gift of God. It's the righteousness, because our own righteousness is as filthy rags. And then turn with me right quick to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, it says in verse, I believe it's 14. It says, well, actually, it's... Let's read verse 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have others need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracle of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. A strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, and even those who by reason of use have exercised their senses, exercise them to discern both good and evil. And so course, it tells us in the next chapter to leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to perfection. And in order to go on to that perfection, then first of all needs to be elementary teachings understood about Christ. So what do I mean by being engineered in righteousness? Because we're talking about being established in righteousness. And, of course, you know, in Isaiah, let's for the sake of laying a foundational stone, let's go to chapter 54 and look at verse 14. And it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established, shalt thou be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear and from the terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely be gathered together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. And, of course, it keeps reading just a beautiful passage. Behold, I've created the smith that bloweth the coals on the fire and bringeth forth an instrument for his work. And I have created the waster to destroy. But no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Glory to God. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So this particular teaching brings it to light that the righteousness and operating in true righteousness whereby God respects is established in Christ. It's established in Christ, and Christ is not indicative of Jesus' last name, but his ability, his power, his influence, his authority given to us, transmitted in our spirit, that we can be one with God, have access to the things of God, and walk confidently as children of God without a sense of reservation or fear or sin. So that working of Christ is absolutely essential, and that, first of all, has to be conceived in the conscience. The conscience has to get used to adapting to the nature of Christ. And what I find is that we're in an era now, glory to God, where people don't truly understand that dynamic about Christianity. There's no connection. And when you're ministering, you have to be able to take people to what exactly you mean. Now, part of it is this. We have developed a lot of ideology. And ideology, according to the dictionary, is a bringing together of doctrines, beliefs, convictions, and holding them as valuable. But you can hold anything as valuable, but if you don't apply it and truly take ownership of it, you're still not going to benefit from it. It's going to remain an ideal perspective and righteousness, and the righteousness of God that the Lord really affords us the privilege to attain and achieve things with, will remain an ideology in the eyes of those who do not put God's word as final authority. And when his word is not final authority, you're going to have challenges really existing in the righteousness of God, and it keeps you in maturity. So a lot of the reasons why we don't see a perfected church is because we don't see a people who have been truly embracing the consciousness of righteousness, the divine righteousness. And of course, there are many scriptures I can highlight to you, which I will, about that one notion. And I think in the coming age, what's going to make the difference with people is you, as the ministers of the gospel, embodying embodying your convictions, not only through communication, but through manifestation, through how you carry out and exist in your own conduct and affairs. So here we see another interesting passage, Matthew 3:14-15. You can write this down Jesus stated when he was being baptized, of course, you know, when he went to go be baptized, John said, hey, you should be baptized in me. Jesus said to him, Matthew records that in order to fulfill all righteousness, this must be done for the sake of the scripture. And that pinpointed the emphasis that I think has been revolving all year, especially when we talk about doctrine, discipline, and discipleship. There is, all of that is trained by the moving of the Holy Spirit. So part of achieving this righteousness, of course, God doesn't work against himself, and him giving order to us is going to go through the manners that he has conducted and he has set forth. I recall they're giving keys to awaken the power of being established. And in order to be established, there has to be certain keys that unlock this manifestation. You know, the first one being truth. The second one being there being awakening in the thought life. Then there being trained. And that training is what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit. Now, why do I say this? A portion of Jesus, when he was dealing with John, John brought in the era of repentance that led for the awakening of the revival of the Spirit. And the Spirit first came on the authority of the church, which the Lord Jesus in physical form. And then when Jesus resurrected from the dead, it came, it spread throughout the church as a sign that the Holy Spirit had taken its rightful place in the Godhead and leadership in the forefront of this era. And then the church was added as such should be saved. So salvation could truly happen and occur, not as a mere form of religious practice, but it could really be evident in people's lives. And so we see this happening through the words of Christ. So, of course, it was going to come through Jesus. And Jesus signifying that the fulfillment of all righteousness would happen when the Spirit of God would descend on him. And so part of the blessing of being filled with the Holy Spirit is the promise that the Spirit contains, which is the fulfillment of righteousness, and that righteousness unlocks the maturity that is needed to excel in the things of God and to produce the will of God. So I wanted to bring that out to you, and I'm just highlighting certain points because I want you to understand you have been engineered. What does engineering indicate? It indicates that there has been a fixation that has happened by a group or operation of activities that have been set to produce a product, and the product is the righteousness of God. God went to work before the creation of the world for Jesus to fulfill all righteousness so that through him you can be empowered to exist in the God kind of life on earth as it is in heaven. One of the challenges that I want ministers to truly dialogue when you deal, well, first of all, I want you to preach about righteousness because there is a demonic influence that is set in the perspectives of many that there is none righteous. No, not one. And that's not the case. There are people who are operating in the righteousness of God who have not bowed down to demonic decrees, but have become steadfast, unmovable, yet abounding in the work of the Lord. So we have to keep that in mind despite of what's going on in people's realities and lives. That doesn't change the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his ability to truly empower his people. When we say he's empowered us, we need to make certain that that's not just a form of religious jargon, but that is a manifestation. So we talked about the qualities, the manifested qualities in being established in righteousness. Of course, it's a heart that's established in the grace of God. And then again, the revelation of our sonship, which allows the qualities of godliness. A reliance upon the power that enables us to live in, by faith and not by sight, and a compliance to being instructed in righteousness. And, of course, you know, that's the purpose of doctrine. When you start teaching doctrine, it's because
you have embodied these principles so that it has kept you right. You never follow an instructor that cannot manifest what it communicates. And so these principles are pertinent. Engineered for righteousness. I was very disappointed, and of course, you know, my expectation is not that high of comments that people make on the particular format of communication networking that I was observing. One of the ministers came out as like, with their lifestyle, sexual preferences, and you know, you're never really surprised that people have different various sexual preferences, but you are surprised at the manner in which they communicated. And it's one thing in your dirty laundry being attacked by another, but it's another thing when you air your own dirty laundry and tell everybody to keep sniffing. You know, it's just a whole another level of arrogancy and outrageous defiance toward God. And then there's this new jargon about the love of God, and God sees no colors, he sees no creed, he sees no, distinctions or difference. But God doesn't work against himself. And in the next lesson that we're studying, and this year I'm going to truly deal with this overall teaching, and out of all of my teachings, I've tried to enforce the importance of being in order. But I'm really going to be able to communicate to another degree that the Holy Spirit has enlightened me to when it comes to achieving this order. And that truly begins with this type of teaching, being established in righteousness. Anybody, of course, you know, we just read in Hebrews, anybody who is immature and unskillful is as a result of them not being acquainted with the doctrine of righteousness. So righteousness has to be taught. It has to be established and provoked to the conscience. Then from the conscience, they construct a covenant that causes them to be bound to their manifesting qualities and character as a covenant of character. And then after that character of covenant, then there's a commitment. And after that commitment, then they operate in that calling, that calling, that commitment. Because, of course, you begin to hear the voice of God when you start committing and establishing covenant. And then you can carry out the realm of righteousness and exist as Christ here on the earth. And that's what our working in salvation does. Amen. Let me give you some more scriptures, because, of course, Jesus came to fulfill all righteousness, and that's why he must be baptized, Matthew 3:14-15. And then the righteousness of God exceeds the world in Matthew 5:20. And of course, you know, the scripture tells you in Matthew 5:6, those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. In Romans 3, and of course, Romans is the book to get acquainted with how to be established in righteousness. Of course, the Roman road teaches you repentance, but it also teaches you righteousness through the Spirit. So when we started, we saw the prophetic declaration that the fulfillment of righteousness would be awakened by the confirmation of the Holy Spirit as it was in Jesus. And so when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, and that's why it's important to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with evidence meaning the fruits of God's gifts, his grace, and his goals are at work in your life. And when that has taken place, you're going to be able to walk and have a relationship with the Spirit. Of course, Romans 8:10 tells you your spirit has been made alive because of righteousness. So when the righteousness of God is fulfilled, then your spirit can truly activate and create itself. But turn with me to this, and this is what I want you to understand about being engineered through righteousness. Your being, your having a spirit is God's. Of course, you know, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. We quoted that last week in Psalms. And but the engineering that God has fashioned you for is achieved through the Holy Spirit, through the evidence of the Holy Spirit. And one of the greatest evidences of the Holy Spirit is the righteousness of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit showed me in my time in prayer. I know the manifestation of the Holy Spirit will cause things such as tongues and the gifts of tongues and prophecy and interpretation of tongues and the proclamation of the gospel. Those are the signifying factors. They begin to speak in tongues in Acts chapter 2. But the fruit of the Spirit, righteousness, is one of the fruits. So you can really see that the evidence of the Spirit is in the fruits, its fruits. And this case of righteousness is so key that I say that if we were to neglect such a study, we would have serious challenges on the roads ahead. Galatians 5:5. Just talk about a little bit being engineered for righteousness through the Spirit. Of course, Galatians 5:5 says, "For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ," and of course it talks about there's neither the circumcision, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So we see that through the Spirit we wait for the hope of righteousness. So Christ has become of no effect unto you whosoever are justified by the law and are fallen from grace. So when we are not fallen from grace, and we allow the Spirit of God to justify us by faith, then that hope of righteousness is assured. Turn with me to Ephesians. Actually, let's go to Hebrews 1:9. I want to, because the Lord had instructed me, he said, "Levon, when you do this study, I want you to preach this one." Not necessarily preach it as far as hooping or, but I want you to really do your research on this one. And I've studied every book in the Bible concerning righteousness, and I have recently been in my spirit, man, even after the study of this righteousness. It has remained an ideology to so many people that truly fulfilling righteousness, the fulfilling part, the fulfillment aspect of it, has kept people from perfection in Christ. And so when you say things like perfection in Christ, they almost look at you as if you were talking about blasphemy. And it's because truly it has locked, it has been locked in the realm of ideology. It's been a sacred cow, if you will. Righteousness has been a sacred cow. And then it's gotten to the point that if you actually exist and attempt to live right before people and before yourself, glory to God, man, I tell you, it has been set up so that if you begin to exist in it and profess, people have come up with a word called self-righteousness. And so when you start living correctly, they almost think you're arrogant. So I see the attack on this doctrine And of course, if you want to stunt somebody's growth, deal with what they ingest. Oh my goodness! If you want to stunt somebody's growth, overload them with sugar. Deal with what they ingest. If you want to stunt their growth, yeah, have them use speeds and drugs to alter their development. So, we're supposed to feed, as ministers of the gospel, people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Well, how are we going to feed people wisdom, knowledge, and understanding if we ourselves are not acquainted with this doctrine of righteousness? For long we have kept it in the realm of ideology. Great beliefs. Christ has made unto us righteousness. Yes, it's great beliefs. But it's not vivid in our character. So, of course, you know, Ephesians, Galatians, of course, said, who has bewitched you? And it's the demonic influence that's attacking. And unfortunately, that happened. That's what happened in the church of Galatia. And a part of them reverting to traditions of men, which the law was very embrace of at that time, kept them stuck. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage, wherein they lie in wait to deceive. And of course, the scripture tells you, and it doesn't change, that the transformation is going to happen in the spirit. If it happened in the spirit with Jesus, in order for him to fulfill all righteousness, then why would he avoid this awakening that comes from the Holy Spirit? And the Holy Spirit set me to remind the minister, to remind the congregants that we have been engineered. That God has worked out this plan. He worked it out. The engineering took place in the scheme of redemption. He has engineered us to live righteously. And when we begin to go by that perspective, we will see great, great changes in our very lives. I am convinced that the church has been seated and feasting at the wrong table. Not the church, but the congregants. The church establishes on Christ. And so in order to be established on Christ and in Christ and with Christ, we're going to have to deal with what connects us, and it's the Spirit of God. Amen. So our engineering is the working of the Spirit. Hebrews 1:9 says that, Thou hast loved righteousness and hast hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning, hast laid the foundation of the earth and the heavens that are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they shall wax old as doth the garment. And as a vesture thou shalt fold them up, and thou shalt be changed. But thou art the same, and thou years shall not fail. And of course, you know, it says, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Well, who's on his right hand? It's Christ. So part of us being in Christ is going to release us to this righteousness that produces true joy and gladness. Let's go to James 3:18. And I have plenty of more scriptures to go through. I'm only going to go through a few more tonight because I just want to pray, and then I want to promote next week's teaching. It's going to be a teaching, and it's going to be a little bit of the dialogue and discussion concerning is ministry my fix? We'll really talk about that. Amen. James 3:18. And it says, look at this page. Now listen to this. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and not easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits without partiality. So you understand that righteousness is a fruit of the Spirit. It is the imperative that we teach people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So that way the fruit of righteousness and the fulfillment of righteousness can be achieved. Okay, so all of that is coined under this process. Am I right? So, in that, here is a plan for redemption. Or here is a plan for righteousness. And it's a 3P plan. Okay? First is pure. Okay? Purity. And then secondly, peaceable. Adjectives around peaceable is gentle, easily to be entreated, full of mercy, and good fruits. And then thirdly, without partiality. Without partiality. So that's the third P. And let's expound on this because we're talking about being engineered in righteousness. Glory to God. When you're engineered in righteousness, you have allowed, first of all, things to be clean in the air. Pure. There's a purity to our relationship with Christ. There's a purity. There's a cleansing. Cleansing his hands. Cleansing our hands. The cleaning of our hands. The cleaning of our hearts. The cleaning of our heads. God says his power is available so that he can cleanse our conscience even from dead works so that we can serve the living God. So here again is a plan. Of course, it says easily entreated, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality. So, of course, when something is pure, it's peaceable, things are clear. When you begin to work with righteousness, you don't have that many frictions. Scripture says there's a peace that surpasses all understanding. And of course, you know, that peace is that passes all understanding that John captured in the revelation of the Lord Jesus in his gospel in 15, 16, 17. You know, that peace that surpasses understanding is the Holy Spirit. Of course, he says, the peace that I leave with you, the peace that I give you, is that promise that comes from the Holy Spirit. And, of course, the Holy Spirit works in purity because he will not have any form of error in him. And then it says, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now, this is the part to refer to the preacher using love as a means to manipulate people's minds, God's love for everyone. And God does love everyone. Doesn't mean he likes every action that people commit. There is such a thing as coming before him pure in a state of peace that can only be achieved through the Holy Spirit, and then without partiality. And that's the part that we need to communicate and emphasize. There's a lot of partialities where people come to operate in righteousness. They make it seem like this ideology is good to have in your heart, but it's never going to come out in life. It's a trick of the devil. But the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make what? That make peace. So how do we make peace? We can only make peace through what is dwelling on the inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay, so the Spirit of God has been sent, and the way it's going to be done is in purity, in peace, and lack of and no partiality. Glory to God. Ephesians 5:9. I think we'll stop here. And I'll pick this back up, but I had to give you these scriptures. Ephesians 5:9. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And it says this, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame to even speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But in all things that are reproved and are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he said, awake thou sleeper and arise from the dead, and what? And Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein there is excess, but be filled again with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Of course, you know it deals with other relationships. But I think this is, of course, showing you again, just confirming this engineering that takes place in Christ, but it's as a result of the Spirit being evident in your life. Engineered for righteousness, transforming ideology to reality. How do I transform this ideology to reality? Submit to the Holy Spirit. Submit to the Holy Spirit. Then, when you submit it to the Holy Spirit, say what he says and do what he does. When you make peace, you'll get this peace. And part of this peace is fulfilled in righteousness. Amen. I trust that whatever you set your hands to do, you will do, because greater is he that lives within you than he that's within the world. This is Lamon Beelen, the founder of the Living Word Campaign, host of Rhema Remnant Radio. I thank you for listening to tonight's program. And I was kind of botched up and things like that, but I wanted to give you the foundational scriptures expanded from what we've already discussed on being established in righteousness. And it is my prayer and the revelation of this righteousness will be embedded so that fruit can be produced, be established even in your conscience, and then also a revelation of you being engineered through the power of Christ by his Spirit. Glory to God. Would afford you the advantages of achieving this righteousness so that you can go on to perfection. So we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that it did not fall on deaf ears, but it accomplished that which you have set forth it to accomplish and achieve. You alone will get all praise. Make even the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart, the content of my intent, be acceptable in your sight. God, you are the giver of our strength and our redeemer. We thank you, Lord, for your assistance tonight. We thank you for your words. We glorify your name because of your word. And let this word not return unto you void, but accomplish the intent. Father, you alone will get all praise, honor, and glory for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. I'll see you on the next broadcast. God bless you tonight.